This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ah yes, the magnificent Trolley Sour Bright Crawler, also known as Trollicus brightolus. The worm's captivating neon colour makes it an easy gummy prey.
Trolley!
It's a surprisingly sour, invitingly chewy, staggeringly snackable species unlike anything else found on this planet.
Eat me!
Delicious. Visit Trolley.com to shop now.
Trolley, eat me!
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
Welcome to the new series of the Olive Magazine podcast, Kitchen Crafting. I'm Janine, Deputy Editor and podcast host, and each week I'll be joined by an expert in their field to take a dive into a specialist subject. This week, I'm learning all about pickling and preserving and why it's a skill we can all easily master. So I'm delighted to welcome preserver, cook, writer and educator Kylie Newton to the podcast. Kylie grew up in New Zealand, where the notions of seasonal eating and sustainability were actually part of her childhood daily life. After moving to London, she founded Newton & Pot, a business dedicated to the art of making handmade small-batch jams, pickles, chutneys and ferments, which ended up on the shelves of Selfridges and Harrods food halls, among others. Kylie's written two cookery books, The Modern Preserver and The Modern Preserver's Kitchen, which we're going to hear a little bit more about today. So welcome, Kylie. Lovely to see you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Can we just kick off by talking a bit about why preserving is such a precious skill that we should be treasuring and trying to hold on to?
Well, as I was talking to you earlier, I just feel like it's been around for thousands of years, and it's kind of had it's survived the test of time, which is quite strange because it's preserving, so it's about longevity. But it has it's fed people in, you know, unflourished times where fruit and vegetables have not been available, so people have preserved to kind of feed their family in the winter months. And also created kind of traditions and hand-me-down kind of recipes from thousands and thousands of years. And so, yeah, I feel like it needs to be heroed as a practice. And as you can see, it's coming more and more, and definitely in the last 6 to 8 years, it's more prevalent in a whole lot of chefs and people doing more preserving. Yeah. In fact, my last book through the lockdown, The Modern Preserver, did really well.
Did it? I'm not surprised. I mean, what first attracted you to that, the practice of preserving?
I've worked in the arts most of my life. I'm a creative being. I've always worked for artists in the past, and I came across preserving because I was working for a photographer called Wolfgang Tillmans. Basically, he is a famous photographer, artist. I was doing all his analog printing. But he up and moved to Germany. He moved his practice to Germany about 10 years ago now. And I kind of was left with this old-fashioned skill of analog printing, which we now live in a digital world. And I thought, okay, I'm going to be a baker. I'm going to I'm going to take my beautiful bakes made out of rich chocolate and the best lemons and make these little cakes, and I'm going to sell them down at the market stall. So I did, and I baked all these beautiful ground almond bakewell tarts, and I went down, and at the end of the day I had cake left over when it didn't sell, and it kind of broke my heart from, as you said, my background is I've grown up with being sustainable eating seasonally. I think growing up in New Zealand in the 80s, we weren't kind of exposed to too much mass production being imported over. So that's the way I kind of lived. And so I, you know, preserving was the antidote to this. It was, for me, within food, I felt like I was giving food longevity, and I quite often joke that I'm like this, a saint of longevity, or of food longevity, because I feel like I'm giving fruit and vegetables a longer lease of life.
Yeah, second life as well.
A second life. So, yeah, it's goes hand in hand with that, the idea of using up everything. Yeah. And, you know, Newton and Pot, we had very, very little waste, and we used everything that came into my little kitchen. Yeah, so it's that which draws me to it. It's that it encompasses this whole idea that of giving food longevity and being sustainable and just being better for the earth.
Obviously, zero waste, or, you know, waste-free cooking is a huge thing at the minute. You know, I hear it a lot.
Yeah.
And as you've said, a lot of chefs have adapted to it. What sort of things are out there that you can kind of use for pickling chutneys that you wouldn't normally, you know, we all know about pear chutney or pickled onions, but what sort of, like, what are the weird things that you can
so I mean, during lockdown I was pickling some beetroot, and I had, you know how beetroot sometimes have the beautiful stalks come through and you never know what to do with the stalks. You can chop those up and put them in a quick pickle and eat them as a side.
Really?
On. Yeah, in fact, Thomasina did a repost, I think, of my Instagram post, because she was so impressed of, yes, that's a great thing to use up your beetroot stalks with. You can always pickle cauliflower stalks and leaves as well. I went home for 6 months to New Zealand, and I found my mother just chopping the little heads off of all the cauliflower, and there's all the stalks that are just beautifully as delicious as well. So you can chop all those up and put them in a pickle and add them to a salad as well. I do think that chutney is the best thing for when you've got fruit and vegetables that are starting to kind of age a little bit in the fruit bowl, and you don't know what to do with them, and they're not the most delicious thing to bite into. Just chop them all up and pop them into a pot with a whole lot of spices, sugar and vinegar, and just kind of render them down to make a chutney. It's as simple as that. You know, to use up all of those odd bits and pieces. You never know what you might create something fantastic,
because they don't need to keep their integrity
freshness.
Do they, or their freshness?
they don't with jam and pickling. It's quite important that you have fresh ingredients. Pickling, I kind of think it's almost like creating a time capsule. So you want to keep it as fresh as you can in this time capsule of the vinegar brine, whereas jam, because we're not as reliant as we were in the old days of adding equal parts sugar to equal part fruit, which was a very typical way of making jam once sugar was introduced to the general public, we're a lot more sugar wary and conscious of our sugar intake. So we're relying more on the chemical reaction that happens when you heat pectin, which is natural substance or chemical in every fruit and a lot of vegetables, to kind of gel up, and that's what creates that kind of setting and gelling. It's a natural process, but it needs heat, acid, and sugar.
So we're talking for for our pickles, we want something that's just really, really fresh. Like,
yeah, golden. Exactly.
Yeah, say it was a cucumber, you want it to be like almost just off the plant, or, you know, it's really firm and almost like not underripe, but it's just ripe. And
just
And then with jam, we're looking at not on the term, but kind of ripe, as in...
Well, just right as well. The younger fruits tend to have more pectin in them than the older fruits. So the longer a fruit has been picked off the tree or bush, its pectin levels kind of decrease. So it's really important if you're wanting a good set to kind of get the fresher, younger fruits.
So the fruit's telling you. You need to make jam out of me now.
Yeah.
I'm full of pectin right now.
Yeah, saying that, you know, I've made very, very good berry jam out of frozen berries. If I go to, say, there's a lot of picking farms, berries. Mm. The UK is great for berries, and it's berry season at the moment. You can go out to the picking farms. If you find that now you don't have the time to necessarily make it into a jam immediately, we have got this fantastic modern invention called the freezer, which you can pop them into, which refrigeration and freezing was designed to what basically preserving used to do back in the old days, is to kind of give that food that longevity as well.
Your book is not just about preserving. It's called The Modern Preserver's Kitchen because it tells you how to do various pickles, preserves, jams, ferments, but then gives you recipes on how to use that. And you had a particular inspiration for that, didn't you?
Yeah, so I was sitting with, I'd been working, since I wrote the first book, I made suggestions in the first book of ways to eat it. It's always been my intention that I wanted to bring it into a cook's repertoire of making food. And one of the biggest questions when I ran Newton and Pot, and I had a little market store down Broadway Market, which is in Hackney, a lot of people would ask me all the time, so how do I eat it? How do I eat it? So that's triggered off all these thoughts of, how do people eat it? And I've been working over the last 6 years, just since my first book was published, doing collaborations with chefs and cooks and trying to expose this idea that you can put it into your everyday food and make it into delicious everyday meals, because people get stuck with putting, say, jam on toast or chutney with cheese or pickles, you know, and a mezze of other things. So I just kind of wanted to... For me, it's giving people inspiration. I have about 30, in the new book, The Modern Preserver's Kitchen, I have about 30 recipes of preserving, and I give suggestions with jams of how to do flavour combinations with your jams. I do things like quick pickles and preserving pickles, because they're a different type of pickles. Mm. I talk about... fermentation and where fermentation comes from, as well as chutney and a little bit about the history of chutney. But it's then about how we incorporate it into everyday meals. So, there are a lot of fun things like rippling, soft set jams through homemade ice cream or, I like to make things from scratch. So there's things like you make your own donuts and fill them with jam, or there's a pickled beetroot in the kiwi burger, where we put an egg in a kiwi burger. I don't know if you saw that recipe.
Yeah, I love that. That's a very
very kiwi
New Zealand thing.
Thing
to do, isn't it?
Very New Zealand
thing.
You
guys were the first. I remember years ago seeing this, like someone saying it's a kiwi burger, and I was like, "What makes it a kiwi
what
burger?"
Is it?
And they said you put beetroot on it, and I was like, "Okay,
yeah, beetroot and egg." And my husband kind of curled his nose up to me when I, because he's English, going, "You know, what is this?" But he loves it. You'll just love it. So it's a book of inspiring you, to use up that condiment ghost town, and we're all culprit.
Can I just
of
stop you
that.
There? Like the yeah. condiment, the condiment you ghost town is one of my favorite. Because I looked at my fridge last night, and I've got two shelves.
Yeah,
which really qualifies condiment ghost. They do get eaten though, because I'm quite a big fan of like chili sauce and chili jam. The chili sauce doesn't stain.
Excellent.
And I try to keep stuff out of the fridge that I don't think needs to be in the fridge, like mustard, but my husband keeps sticking it back in there because he thinks all jars should be in the fridge.
In the fridge, yeah.
But I have two rows deep of stuff in there, and it just gets out of control, doesn't it?
It is a common problem for everyone. And, you know, I was doing a market stall one day and I was next to this woman and she was telling me that, if it's got a use by date on it, it's out. And I hate that because, for one thing, use best before and use by are very, very two different things. Best before means best quality before that date. So still edible, still good to eat. And people are throwing things out of their fridge which are past a best before date because they think use by is more for perishable goods like eggs or meat that, you know, that educated, you would know it's gone off. But there's a lot of food waste in the world, and this is my antidote to you, to the public, to kind of use up that those things in your condiment ghost town and to get cooking with them.
Stick around for more expert advice on preserving from Kylie. Let's convince some listeners out there that pickling can be done. Starting with your pickling chapter. So you talk a lot about quick pickles, and this is something that I'm a huge fan of because I love kind of sweet and sour, which that uses quite a lot, isn't it? So what's the difference between a quick pickle
Quick pickle is something that chefs, when you go to a restaurant, that's basically what you're going to be eating is a quick pickle. They don't have pickles hanging around unless you go to, some people do have their beautiful pickles on display up, but it's very rare that you get a preserving pickle in these dishes. Quite often they are quick pickles, which means that they're made up on the same day or the night before, and they're usually using a different ratio brine. So the ratio brine is usually 3-2-1, which is 3 parts vinegar to 2 parts water to 1 part sugar. So what you've automatically got, if you have a teaspoon of vinegar, the acid in it is very harsh and it'll hit the back of your throat quite aggressively. I quite like that. I'm quite partial to that. However, not everybody is. And so to balance out that flavor, they use this 3-2-1 pickle ratio for vegetables, basically. And it gives a sweeter, palatable brine immediately. So you're just kind of infusing your spices or herbs in with this 3-2-1 ratio and vegetable, any kind of vegetable you like. And for an hour, sometimes 2 hours, I've seen people do, make sauerkraut and the same day. I beg to differ that it's actually a sauerkraut because you do actually do need the time.
Cabbage.
It's a pickled, more of
pickled
a
cabbage.
Pickled cabbage. But preserving pickles, they have far less sugar in them and far less and sometimes no water at all. So they need that time, about 3 to 4 weeks, I recommend, before they they mellow in their jars and the flavors kind of infuse and they are not as harsh as they would have putting it day one into the jar.
How does it mellow? Is it just that the time?
It's just a marriage. I think the flavors all marriage together. You still get that, that harsh, sharp vinegar flavor, but it's just more of a marriage of the flavors. Quick pickles you can't keep, so it's not something you're going to be able to jar up and keep as your time capsule in your larder. You have to keep them in the refrigerator and you have to eat them within a week
Because you want that kind of nice crispness with them as well,
don't you? So there are little different tricks that you can use, which are in the book of keeping your pickles or your vegetables a bit crisper. Sometimes it's just salting and extracting excess water before they go into the pickle. But sometimes it's also adding a bit of a tannin leaf into the top of the jar, which tends to keep them a bit crisper as well. Mm. Preserving pickles and quick pickles are the easiest thing to kind of start your journey into the preserving world if that's where you want to go.
I love this though, because you start with the quick pickles. It's really easy, and you can, as you said, you can make your like pickled carrots or radishes in a couple of hours or an hour.
Yeah.
So you can experiment with that. You know, for some people, they might want to change up that ratio. If they're like a little bit sweeter or a little bit more vinegar, then that's when you bring your own taste into things.
Yeah, and I always taste my brines when I do my classes, I let people taste the brine so that they know, what they're getting into. Mm. The thing about why a quick pickle will not create longevity is it's got just too much water. You need a certain amount of acidic acid in to keep the pH levels from it to stop ferment your fruit or vegetable stop fermenting.
Yeah.
And so this is why read a little bit about it. If you just don't dive straight in with a recipe, do read a little bit about the, I try and be as clear as and simple as possible.
Yeah.
To keep it manageable for people,
but
do read a little bit about the science, because I have had also people say to me, I followed your recipe exactly and my pickles started fermenting in the jar. What it came down to was they didn't follow the recipe exactly. They used a rice wine vinegar. Now, rice wine vinegar has very low acidic acid levels in it, so it doesn't have the pH level to keep it preserved, so it will start to break down fundamentally what you've got inside the jar.
Yeah.
But rice wine vinegar, a lot of chefs use that as well because it's immediately palatable as well. Yeah, it's not as harsh.
It's got a sweetness to it, hasn't it? Which I think
But you can tell, because it's that harshness, which is the acid that you need.
That's what you need for your long
pickles. But I pickle fruit as well, which is not as common. And put some of those recipes in into things like frangipani tart, as you'll see on the front cover. So pickled pears into frangipani tart. And I've got pickled cherries that go into matcha friands. And I do pickled raspberries, a quick pickled raspberry that goes in the bottom of my mum's chocolate mousse.
Wow.
Because for me, when it comes to dessert, I'm quite picky. I don't like things to be overly sweet. So what that does is it creates this kind of sharp, tart flavor balance. And it's quite surprising. It's not for everyone, I don't think, but I just love that kind of balance in my dessert. I'm getting this kind of sharp kick at the same time as having the creamy kind of textures or chocolatey flavors going on.
And if people want to start on their preserving journey, I mean, do they have to buy tons of specialist equipment?
No, I started just with a big old stock pot. I do recommend if you're making jam to get a jam pan. There's a reason that the pan is shaped at where it goes up. It's wider at the top of the rim than it is in the bottom of the rim. With jam, you want to get to these high heats. Jam is harder to perfect, I think. I think jam is the hardest of all the preserves to perfect. Whereas I think everyone thinks that it's the easiest to, because it's the most, their grandma used to do it. So they think that if grandma used to do it, how hard can it be? But I really, you have to know how fruit works and the pectin levels, and it's this chemistry that goes on. So there is a little bit of skill to perfect it. And I'm of the out that you just, make mistakes and try again, and you learn. That's the way you learn. I hope that I've given a whole lot of kind of, techniques on how to get a a good jam, but different elements and cooking change things too. Like I'm saying, the size, the shape of your pot, why it's got a small circumference on the bottom and a big one at the top is that you're getting to this hot heat in a concentrated space, and there's a wider circumference for the air to be released, so it gets hotter quicker, and you need it to get as hot as you can, as quick as you can, to get those that pectin and that gelling up. So, yeah, that I've just made it feel really complicated for you.
No, but
I
think that's what I think I think that's what's really lovely about it is that you can start on your journey and you can go as far down that journey as you want to.
As you want, yeah.
But there is also a lot of provable and practical science involved, as in, you know, like a bit like in baking, if you stick to certain ratios and you follow the rules and you, you know, are reasonably clean, you should end up with something pretty beautiful
good,
at the
tasteful.
End of it, you know. So, yeah, exactly. So it's got like, you know, there's you can experiment with it once you've mastered the basics, but the basics
exactly.
aren't that difficult to master either. So I think
they're not
perfect.
That difficult. And I think that people have been put off by preserving because words like bacteria and sterilization get thrown around. And so they get frightened that they're going to poison themselves. You're not going to poison yourself. With vinegar brine pickling, vinegar has, you know, if you've used pH level of above 4 of the acidic level, then you're getting a safe environment for these things to be, you know, in that time capsule. There's not a lot that can go wrong.
Is above pH 4, is that's your normal, as you said, white wine vinegar, cider vinegar?
Yeah, so they have usually a acidic level of 4 to 6 percent. And it usually, you will find it on the side of the vinegar bottle. You'll see it on the side of the vinegar bottle. They all list it.
I noticed as well that you got some quite unusual ingredients in your pickles as well. I noticed the booze straight away jumped out to me.
Adding booze to things.
I've never,
a bit of a lush.
I mean, I've come across whiskey in jam before, but I've never come across whiskey pickle carrots. And I'm sure I saw on your Instagram that you had gin pickle cucumbers.
Yeah. So that when I had Newton and Pot, they were some of my, I just didn't know if people would get it, but they really love it. So mimic the flavors. When I came up with a gin pickle cucumber, it was kind of like, you know, if I'm having a gin and tonic, how could I make this into a pickle? How can I flip this upside down and make it into a pickle? So it kind of came out of that I, you know, the cucumber was going to be the star of the show, and I'm adding, mimicking the gin kind of flavors like juniper berries and good glug of gin in there as well for good measure, as they say. And yeah, and also, you know, whiskey pickled carrots comes from my mother. Every Christmas would make orange carrots with orange and a little bit of whiskey for the Christmas table. So it kind of came from that idea. I was bringing in it's got all the orange flavors, spices, and with the whiskey, so it's got those nice warm kind of smoky tones as well. And
yeah, I was going to say smoky, but it's not. Yeah. I mean, just to allay people's fears, we're not pouring in a whole bottle of whiskey.
No, no, you actually need the vinegar to kind of preserve them. So
it's only
a couple of tablespoons. Just it's the impression. Your kids can eat it.
Yeah, it'll be fine. I mean,
it'll be fine.
Yeah, those are such brilliant ideas, and the book itself is absolutely full of them. So thank you so much for coming to chat to us today.
So great. I went over everything you wanted to. I'm a real talker.
if people want to stay in touch with what you're doing, because I know that you do regular preserving classes. Obviously, you've probably been doing it online, but that'll be moving back into real life again, hopefully. Where can they keep in touch with everything you're up to?
Well, I've just changed my moniker on Instagram to The Modern Preserver, but my website is still Newton and Pot, and you can find my classes on there and find my books on there.
So that's The Modern Preserver's Kitchen by Kylie Newton. Well, thank you once again, Kylie, for coming to chat to us. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So that was the Olive Magazine podcast. For more information on things we talked about in this episode and to check out our back catalogue of over 200 episodes, head over to olivemagazine.com. And do listen out for our weekly bonus episode where Kylie is sharing one of her favourite preserving recipes and explaining how to make it with perfect results every time.